Well, welcome to our latest current events update for the month of May 2017. We just came through the Passover event, and in that period of time, there's a time called the First Fruits, and it has to do with the time frame that's between Passover and Pentecost, or Shavuot, as the Hebrew word for it. And it comes from the book of Leviticus, where God instructed Israel for a perpetual covenant to keep the festivals that he had set up for them. And when you go to Leviticus chapter 23, you can see all these listed in the instructions for them. But at this time, we're in the phase that's called the counting of the Omer. And it's not actually biblical, but it's traditional. But it brings us to a true biblical event. Involved in that is a lot of good principles that we can learn. So I have included an article from the Hebrew for Christians website, which I hope you will look at, and it will explain a lot of the traditions and the biblical perspectives. And from a theological standpoint, as far as canon is concerned, you may not agree with some of the website's facts or beliefs, but I would say that as a whole, it's a worthwhile source of biblical information. And tragically, too many people, and I'm referring really here to most Christian brethren, most church brethren, have no clue as to the importance of this subject. So that particular posting, I think, is very good, and I think it's reasonably accurate, and I think that we need to leave each other space to have agreements and disagreements over things in a friendly and loving fashion. But one of the big events that becomes a disagreement is that what day you use to start the count for counting of the Omer, and that's listed in the article, and I wouldn't get too caught up in that if I were you. I would try to understand it and study it and learn it as you go along. But I've been studying it for almost 14 years, and I'm not sure I still understand the exact counting prescription. But I tend to follow the one that starts on the Sabbath after the Passover event. And I know that that reference sometime is clouded by considering the so-called High Holy Day, or the Sabbath, of the first day of unleavened bread. And when you study those things, you'll learn that there's something of credibility to either one of them, and you just have to pray about it and look at it and see what you think is the one you'd want to follow. Typically, the Christian church celebrates Pentecost or Shavuot on a Sunday, first day of the week, whereas the rabbinical traditional perspective oftentimes starts on the first day of unleavened bread as the high Sabbath, or the holy day, or the day of rest that they count from, and that makes that date fall out at the biblical Hebrew date of the 6th of Sivan, which is a fixed date, whereas the Christian date that we typically and some messianics follow comes out on a different date each year. It's not always on the same date. So that's something you'll run into in that study, and I don't want to take too much time on it, but I want to caution you about it, because so many of these things can be controversial, and you shouldn't let them be. The other thing about the time that we are in, which I think should be a place where we should place our focus, is that this event is a glorious event. It is a time of the spring festival seasons that we are in, which, if we look at the way the festivals are set up, there are 7 notable festivals. The first 4 in the spring represent the coming of Messiah the first time, with the fall feast representing the coming of Messiah the second time. And the narrative of that is a really good picture to begin to understand how God has used these things, to teach us these things in our understanding of what he wants us to learn. So we actually have three things going on here. We have this glorious triad, which is, number one, the Torah given at Mount Sinai, the actual word of Yahweh spoken from the mouth of Yahweh to Moses from the mountain, from within the cloud, written on stone with God's own finger on Shavuot, or Pentecost, 50 days after the Hebrews left Egypt to celebrate their Passover. So this Passover, the first Passover, marked the starting point, and then 50 days from there, they came to Mount Sinai, where the Torah was given to them. Number two, the Lamb of God, Yeshua, the Torah word that became flesh, as recorded in New Testament, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, was sacrificed for us on a later Passover in Jerusalem, 50 days prior to Shavuot, or Pentecost. Of course, he was raised from the dead 3 days later, becoming the first fruit of God's own work for our redemption, which, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:20. And then number three of the triad is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit 50 days after Yeshua's crucifixion, which marked us as believers, our deliverance from Egypt, or the house of worldly sin, as a comparative to the physical Israel leaving the physical Egypt. So we have that same parallel God has drawn for us there. But this whole thing is nothing less than Yahweh's reaching out to his people, all believers of Israel, as the Word of God, God in the person of Yeshua the flesh, and God the Holy Spirit. The biblical narrative is choreographed in full by Yahweh to be an eternal witness, and it's to be experienced annually for our learning. And by Yahweh spring and fall festivals, these seven festivals continually remind us of what God has planned by sending Yeshua the first time, and of course for us to understand about his coming the second time. So that's what the focus of this May update is, as far as a biblical perspective is concerned. And I'm also providing a special study by prophecy scholar Eddie Chumney. It's a really good biblical overview of the ongoing conflict between the two brothers, Esau and Jacob, aka Arabs versus Israel. And it's a quite revealing as a biblical framework around a people struggle as to who will inherit Abraham's promises to the land and the kingdom. Have you ever wondered why America, the USA, doesn't seem to appear in the Bible in a more vivid way? There's an author that's given us an article here called America in Prophecy that I'm including. He's a good writer, and I've read his work for a long time now and have a lot of respect for his perspective. And his article is interesting, and I'm including it because America is facing some challenging times right now, and we don't know for sure what America's future is. But it could be that some of the things he proposes in this view he gives us is something that we should be thinking about as a possibility to at least place on shelves in our mental inventory to have available in case some of the dots start to connect. And then he has one on the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I think it's another one that you'd want to look at, and it's a good example of explaining some things from the traditional, historical, archaeological, and biblical standpoint that talks about some things that you normally don't see mentioned in church or in any place except where people are looking at these specific subjects in a particular way. And then there's one here. I want to talk about wars and rumors of wars. And there's an awful lot going on right now in the world. And if you go to Matthew chapter 24 and Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 21, we have Yeshua in the Synoptic Gospels giving us a picture of the last days and things that are to come. And when we look at these things and we see all the turmoil that the world is in today, we can't help but wonder if these times that we're in are not those times he was talking about. And this particular website gives a listing of some things that are happening within just our current times right now. And you can see from all that's going on, there's a lot of sabers being rattled. But Christians are being persecuted everywhere in the world, that there's not a civilized government that's protecting civil liberties. And in particular, the continent of Africa, in the Middle East, where the Islamic State has been so brutal towards Christians. We have China, where the underground church is still being persecuted. We have so many places where people who call upon the name of the Lord have their lives each day challenged, by their faith challenged all the time. And we're seeing more and more of that coming to America and to Canada, up here in the world that we live in North America. So this wars and rumors of wars thing, I think, has some relevance to the times in which we live, and I think you'll find it worth reading, looking at. And then some articles are posted here too for your updates on some of the things that's going on. I like to keep an eye on Gates of Vienna. That tells us a lot of what's happening in Europe, and we know that Europe is in real turmoil. We know that the Islam has had a real grip on Europe, and a lot of the governments there are trying to sequester people to keep them from speaking out or talking about the facts, keeping newspapers from printing what's going on, people being charged with crimes for even speaking out against what they see happening and reporting what's happening. But it's a real problem, and of course I think it has to do with the intent of the globalist to create this division of people, causing chaos and creating countries without borders and trying to break down nationalism. And we see that happening in Europe, and they're trying to bring it to America as well. And then we have an article on moments in history that led up to the Declaration of Israel. And that's because it's coming up on an anniversary date for Israel for 70 years. And from that time, when the Balfour Declaration was approved and given, it was sent to Israel as part of the British plan. And then, of course, in 1947, action on it in the UN, and of course 1948, Israel became a sovereign nation. And this, of course, is a big deal to us who believe the Bible, because we know that that's a probable milepost in the prophecy of Israel being part of that nation that is going to be what God's talking about, or Yeshua, I say, is at least talking about as the generation not passing until the coming of these things be fulfilled. So that's an article to update you on some history there. And there's one here that's a very troubling article. It's called "The End of the American Dream: Is the Left Trying to Start a Civil War?" And if you don't read any of those other articles there, you really should read this one, because you need to really understand what's going on in our society and be praying about it, because it is really, really bad. And the left progressive socialist Democrats, what you would basically refer to better, I think, as aggressive communist, they're trying to destroy the American Constitution and our form of government. And we have that actually as a deep state issue going on here, and President Trump has his hands full and is in an uphill battle, because a lot of the Republican contingents, they don't agree to stand strong, and all this is, I think, has to do with their own political interest, and they're not so concerned about you or I or the Constitution, but they're concerned about their own political interest, and that's not a good situation. It can only lead to trouble. And a really good interview by Politico magazine, which I hope is something you'll read. That's an author there has interviewed Pat Buchanan. I have listened to Pat and read his stuff for years, and I think he's got a pretty level head on his shoulders. as a person who you could look at and get honest perspective from concerning our government and state of affairs. And this particular article, I think, is very, very well done, and I hope you will read it. Well, appreciate your tuning into this, and hope you'll take advantage of some of this information and keep praying for Israel, praying for the believers in the world that are being persecuted, pray for one another, that we might have that hope and that peace of the coming of the Messiah. And as we approach this time of Pentecost, the time when God poured out His Holy Spirit to all men, that they might have the power of the work of the Spirit, of His living Word in us, and the real Messiah Himself living in us, working out through us. The Scripture says He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, and that greater is He that's in us than Him who's in the world. And as we face these times in which we live, we need to really be tuned in to what the Bible says about who we are and who we belong to. Because with all the fake news and false information that we have out there, which is basically the complete makeup of spiritual warfare, is misinformation, because the devil's favorite tool is a lie and deception. And so we as a people, we have to continually look to God's word for stability and sound truth and not be moved off of it, and realize that His word is forever settled in heaven, and that He is God Most High, and He has redeemed us, and that we are a people who are supposed to be set apart, and we're supposed to be free from the fear of death, hell, and the grave. And that can only come through our confidence that we have in His promises that are written in His forever settled word, and in the blood that was shed for us at Calvary, and that the work of the Holy Spirit, which God gave to us at this time of this season of Pentecost, it was given to us to round out that three-legged stool of His Word, His Messiah, and His Spirit being the substance of everything that sustains us and keeps us and gives us hope. So blessings to you, and Shalom.